Hare Krishna. A very hearty welcome to all of our participants on the day two of our journey of self-discovery. Am I audible enough? You are able to hear? Right at the back? Okay. So, yesterday, just a short recap of what we discussed yesterday. The topic was search for happiness, and in trying to search for real happiness or searching for true happiness, we began our discussion with understanding the importance of this human form of life. One example is given that how rare this human form of life is as against the other species. This is an example from our Upanishads. Imagine there is a vast ocean and there is one small wooden plank with a hole in its center, which is just floating around somewhere in this ocean. And within this vast ocean, there is one tortoise deep below, swimming somewhere. And one fine day, the tortoise decides to stick its neck out of the surface of the ocean. And it so happens that it just sticks it out right through the hole, the center hole of this wooden plank, which is floating somewhere around in this vast ocean. So the question is asked, what is the possibility of this to happen? Obviously, very rare. So, just to make us understand the intensity of something very rare, this example is given. A big, huge, vast ocean, one small wooden plank, a center hole, and one tortoise swimming somewhere, anywhere in the ocean, but one fine day sticks out its neck right through the hole of this wooden plank. So very rare to happen. One of billions, the chances are. So that is the rarity to get this human body as against the other species. And then further this example is elaborated. Imagine now, let's believe it happened once. Again the tortoise goes back into the ocean, and now because of the course of the waves, the wooden plank is thrown here and there all over the ocean. And after a year, again the tortoise decides to do the same thing. Now what is the possibility of this happening again? The same phenomena. It's even more rare that it happens second time. So once we get this human form of life, that is very rare in itself. And then we lose this human form of life for obvious reasons, which we'll be discussing. And to get back this human form of life is even more rare, as the tortoise to stick its neck right through the hole of this wooden plank the second time. So we discussed the importance of this human form of life in regards to its rarity as against the other species. And in trying to understand the importance of this human form of life, you remember the differences and the commonalities between we human beings and the other species. What are the four things from this verse from Hitopadesh? Ahara, nidra, bhaya, maithunam cha, samanya etad pashu bhi naranam. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Four things are common. So what is the difference? We have higher intelligence. We have higher discrimination power, and we can inquire into the cause of all causes. We can inquire into the cause of our suffering. We can inquire into who made us, who is the creator, who is God, and not just inquire but get the answers and apply those answers in this human form of life. And also we discussed the real problems which we human beings are supposed to solve using that higher intelligence. And what are the real problems? Okay, what are the three criterions for real problems? Common to all, nobody wants it, nobody can avoid it. birth, old age, disease and death, according to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, are the four real problems to begin with. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, Dukkha, Dosha, Anudarshanam. And everyone has to take the darshan of these four in this material world. And then misery is caused by one's own body and mind, Adhi Atmika, Tap. Misery is caused by other living entities, Adhi Bhautika. Misery is caused by natural disturbances, Adhi Daivika. So is material advancement a way to solve these real problems? What did we understand? Science and technology, can it really permanently solve these real problems? It's a temporary relief. And therefore, the goal of this human form of life is to inquire into the cause of all causes, the cause of our suffering. Basically, we have come to the topic for today now. Does God really exist? So, if God is the cause of all causes, if He is the source of everything, and my goal is to understand and realize that Supreme Creator, the Supreme Being, the Almighty, whatever these people might call. But my first question, you know, one time after the first session, one person, you know, he asked, hearing about the miseries of this material world. So he asked, Bhagwan ne phir aisi duniya hi kyu banayi? Duniya banane wale kya tere man mein samayi? Kyu banayi aisi duniya? But then another guy, he asked the question, are Bhagwan hai ki nahi sabse pehle ye prashna poochho. Duniya kyu banayi? Duniya kaise banayi? Ye to bhul jao. Bhagwan hai ki nahi? Mujhe to is par hi doubt aa raha hai. मुझे तो इसके ऊपर ही बहुत बड़ा संशय है. सो विल बिगिन बिकॉज इन इंडिया दिस पर्टिकुलर क्वेश्चन हैज टू बी आंसर्ड नॉट बेस्ड ऑन एनीवन्स इमोशंस और सेंटिमेंट्स. लाइक आई विल बिगिन विथ अनदर इंटरेस्टिंग स्टोरी. लाइक वी हैड यस्टरडे सम स्टोरीज. यू ऑल लाइक स्टोरीज? So, there was a village. Once upon a time, there was a village. And they invited a sadhu. They invited a sadhu to give lecture. Of course, a sadhu has been invited. What will he speak on? Speak on God. Spirituality. So, now the entire village had assembled. There was a big, huge pandal. And this sage, he was about to begin his talk. He asked this question. So how many of you believe in God? That was the question he asked. Raise your hands, how many of you believe in God? He asked. And everyone, because you know, you have come to a satsang program and you have come to hear from a sadhu, definitely. Just like if all of a sudden in a permit room, you know, the bartender is asking, so how many of you believe that rum will give you a kick? You know, you will be in high spirits. Definitely, we are all sitting over there, they have full faith in that. So everyone raised their hands. We all believe in God. So the sadhu said, if you all believe in God, then what is the point of me speaking to you about God? You already believe in God. And he left. Now, they were all confused. Did we do the right thing or what happened? So they decided, we want to hear him. You know, by hook or by crook, we want to hear him. So we'll call him again. Again he was invited. So the second time when he was invited, again he asked the same question. So how many of you believe in God? Now they had all decided that none of us, we are going to raise our hands because he tricked us last time. So everyone, you know, they just remained silent. So then he said, well, none of you believe in God, which means you are all atheist. So what is the point of me speaking to an atheist group? Again he left. And now they were all the more confused. Damned if you not. You say you believe in God, he leaves. You say you don't believe in God, he leaves. So then they decided, we have the final trick. What we will do, third time now we'll call him. Half of us we will raise our hands and half of us we won't. So the third time when he was called, again he began with that question. How many of you believe in God? Half of them they raised their hands, and as they had decided, half of the crowd they didn't. And he said, okay, those who believe in God, you make sure that you convince those who don't believe in God. Anyway. So, when we have this doubt in regards to the existence of God, whether he exists or not, many times in India, it is very much circumstantial and based on some sentiment or some situation. Belief in God and also non-belief in God. So, should I ask the question now? How many of you believe in God? I'll be asking, don't worry. So, these will be the four doubts which we will discuss today. Does God really exist? What then is the definition of God? Can I see God? Finally, how can I know God? So, we'll be covering these four questions, and essentially, not just trying to know the existence of God on a superficial level, but trying to understand the existence of God based on sound logic, even using science, scientific basis of the existence of God. So, the first question, does God really exist? Yes. In India, what happens is, if you ask, like when I was working, I had many of my friends, and their belief in God depended on the kind of crowd they were in. If they were in a crowd wherein everyone believed in God, so they dare not say anything against God. Maar padegi. Like a colleague of mine from Bombay, he is a brahmachari like me, and he was mentioning that before joining ISKCON, he was member of an atheistic club. And him and other of his friends, you know, they would worship chappals. He said he would worship chappals instead of God. They ye mereko jyada kaam deti hai chappal meri. So chappalon ki aarti utarte the log. So what happened from this club, this atheistic club, one of the friends, also an atheist, one of the friends, he a doctor, he opened a polyclinic. And he had invested lakhs and lakhs of rupees in that. And the inauguration of that polyclinic, he invited all of the members of this club as well. And they all saw, to their amazement and surprise, that there was a havan, there was a yajna, all of that arranged. So this person asked, hey, we were all supposed to be atheists. What is all this? Havan, yajna. So he said, see, I'm still an atheist. But you know, I have invested 60 lakhs. Why take chances? You know, 100 rupees lag raha hai isko, avan avan, Pandit ji. Why take chances? So, what happens is, many times, our faith in God is circumstantial. And this has happened. Another colleague of mine, he was going for a job interview, and both of them were not believers in God, and his friend, all of a sudden, when he saw the person who was about to take his interview enter into his cabin, so he immediately started looking for tilak, you know, to apply. And the friend asked, why do you require a tilak to go for this interview? He said, I saw that boss, you know, he was having tilak. तो अगर तिलक मेरे को नौकरी दिला दे तो तिलक सही, यू नो वॉट एवर इट टेक्स टू गेट द जॉब. सो द बिलीफ इन गॉड वॉज सो फ्लिकरिंग. सो देयरफॉर मेनी टाइम्स वी हैव फेथ इन गॉड डिपेंडिंग ऑन सर्टन सिचुएशन सर्कमस्टेंसेस. वी हैव फेथ इन गॉड डिपेंडिंग ऑन सेंटिमेंट्स. मेनी टाइम्स वी कीप फॉलोइंग सर्टन रिचुअल, क्या बोलते हैं उसको, रिवाज, खानदानी रिवाज है, पुश्तानी रिवाज है. दादाजी ने कहा था, दादी जी ने कहा था, तो दादी जी ने कहा था इसलिए भगवान को नमस्कार करते हैं. सो आवर फेथ इज इट जस्ट बेस्ड ऑन सम दादा दादी कहानी इन गॉड, और डू वी रियली वॉन्ट टू अंडरस्टैंड द एग्जिस्टेंस ऑफ गॉड विच विल बी कन्विंसिंग टू अवर हार्ट एंड ऑल्सो वी कैन कन्विंस पीपल हु माइट से दैट डज ही एग्जिस्ट और नॉट. सो इन गॉड वी ट्रस्ट. सो नाउ माई क्वेश्चन, सो डोंट वरी, यू कैन गिव योर ऑनेस्ट रिप्लाइज टू दिस क्वेश्चन. हाउ मेनी ओवर हियर यू बिलीव इन गॉड, रेज योर हैंड्स. ओके, शुड आई लीव? Okay, so I'll ask to both the parties the question. Okay, why? Let's begin. Why you believe in God?
Like energy is a form of energy, I can say. God is a form of energy.
Energy.
Energy cannot be created nor be destroyed. Similarly, God cannot be created nor be destroyed.
Okay, so you believe in God.
If somebody believes in energy, he has to believe in God because God himself is a kind of energy.
No, we are talking about just yourself. You believe in God because you believe in energy. Okay. Okay. Anyone else? Why you believe in God?
God is the supreme cause.
Yeah.
God is the supreme cause of all causes in various forms.
Okay. So that's the reason our friend, he believes, because God is the supreme cause of all causes. Yes. हमारा धर्म है इसलिए आप मानते हैं. ओके, एनीवन एल्स? ओके, बिफोर द एग्जाम्स, बिफोर द रिजल्ट्स, या सो जो भी काम आए पास होने के लिए, व्हाटएवर वर्क्स. या यू हैड समथिंग? बिकॉज ऑफ गॉड यू आर अ ह्यूमन बीइंग. ओके, इंटरेस्टिंग. सॉरी, भय के कारण भगवान को मानते हैं, नहीं तो मार पड़ेगी. ओके, या ओके, व्हाट एवर वी डिजायर, व्हाट एवर इज अवर एम्बिशन, दैट वी कैन गेट फ्रॉम गॉड. ओके, या okay, so in essence what you are trying to say is that someone else is in control. Who is controlling even science? Even scientist. Okay, so there is someone who is even controlling the scientists. Faith in God gives you what? Psychological strength. Okay. Okay, you are loud and clear. Thank you for that. Okay, so now I appreciate all of your wonderful reasons why you believe in God very much. I congratulate you. Now, herein, fundamental atheist. There was one t-shirt, you know, some time ago, I read on a t-shirt. It said, I am not an atheist because I have realized that I am God. So here and now, we have this question. How many here don't believe in God absolutely? Raise your hands. Okay, we have 3. That's it. Okay, why? Why you don't believe in God? The concept. Okay. So you are like in between. Okay. Not totally an atheist, not totally a theist. Somewhere in between. Okay. You have why the reasons why you don't believe in God? Okay. No monitoring on controlling. That's the reason. What kind of control you are talking about? Okay. Over the universe, over the planet, you are saying that no control over that. Okay, that's the reason you don't believe. Okay. Yes. No reason to believe. Okay. Yeah. Therefore, you don't believe. Okay. Yeah, so quite valid reasons also for not believing in God. Appreciate that. So let's see, let's find out what is in store. How far can we go in trying to understand even for those who believe and even for those who don't believe in God. So the first question for both the parties, proof. Our friends were saying that they don't know who is God, or they haven't experienced the existence of God, or if there is a proof by which, kya saboot hai? Puchte na, kya saboot hai ki Bhagwan hai kahan par? Kisne dekha hai? Dikha sakte ho? All that kind of stuff, all these questions. So proof for the existence of God. So we'll begin with a certain logic. Now, let's begin with trying to understand what are the primal urges which we human beings we have, natural urges within us, you know, urge. So can you name? Okay, hunger. So hunger is a natural urge. Maybe right now many of you might have started feeling that urge. Hunger is a natural urge. And may I ask you, what is the fulfillment in nature for that urge? Because if you have an urge, there has to be a fulfillment. So what is the fulfillment? Food. So you have an urge to eat, and then nature has provided with grains, with fruits, with vegetables, with milk, with so many other, you know, edible things to satisfy that urge. So okay, food, or say hunger, is an urge, and food is the fulfillment which is in nature. So natural urge is hunger, and natural fulfillment is food. What else? Thirst. Okay, let's see. Oh, you are right, we have it. So thirst is a natural urge, and what do we have? Coke, water. We have water, which is the natural element to satisfy this particular urge, the thirst. What else? Breathing. And what is the fulfillment? We have oxygen. Okay, we have natural urge to always keep on breathing until we die. And oxygen is a natural fulfillment for that. Anything else? Okay, nature's call. Yes, you know, that's what is called nature's call. Nature is calling. Sometimes it screams also. At times, it doesn't just silently call you. You know, give a missed call also. Screams sometimes. Misfires. Oh my God. Okay. So yeah, nature's call, and then there is a fulfillment. Okay. So now, when we look into, say, these basic urges of thirst and hunger, you have the fulfillment. Now, if we look into this urge, that all of us, don't we have this urge to follow someone who is superior to us, to admire someone who has more better qualities than us? Do we have that urge? Like, you know, the celebrities. In fact, there are temples, my dear friends. They are these celebrities. Why these celebrities are worshipped? If you, some college hostel you go, in the room, whose pictures you will find? You know, whatever, whoever that celebrity they admire. If somebody is a bodybuilder, you know, so he is admiring a Hulk, you know, muscular man. So you, a person who is a bodybuilder, you won't find Charlie Chaplin all over the walls. You know, in a gymnasium, do you find Charlie Chaplin? They are looking at the Charlie Chaplin and working out. No. In a gymnasium, you will find, you know, all these Sylvester Stallone. I think he's outdated now. Arnold or all. He is also outdated, I guess. Whoever. So, you know, those. So they admire that he is better than, I want muscles like him. Or somebody who wants good looks will definitely not have pictures of Albert Einstein, you know, for good looks or like that. In fact, these celebrities, when people are so much enamored by them, they worship them as God. Down south, you know, Jayalalitha has a temple. In Bengal, Amitabh Bachchan has a temple. Huh? Yeah, the list goes on. So, what does this mean? That we have a natural urge to admire, to adore, and many times emulate the qualities of someone who is superior to us. So, if I have a natural urge to admire someone who is beautiful, if I have a natural urge to admire someone who is more physically powerful, or someone who is more knowledgeable, someone who is famous. So all these qualities, the nature has the fulfillment in God. That when we look into God's personality, all these names, He is Almighty. You know, Allah. What is the meaning of Allah? One who is Almighty. What is the meaning of Krishna? One who is all attractive. Sarva akarshati iti Krishna. One who is all attractive. Not just attractive, but all attractive. Which means all of these qualities which we have a natural urge to get attracted to. Like beauty, fame, strength, knowledge, etc. All these opulences. So He is a reservoir of all of these qualities. So my natural urge can be fulfilled in an absolute manner when I take shelter of someone who has these qualities in totality, in full. So with this logic to begin with, if I have a natural urge to drink water, I find water. If I have a natural urge to eat something, there is food. If I have a natural urge to have as a role model someone who is perfect, then there has to be a person who is perfect. Is it not? So we are beginning with this logic of fulfillment of our urges in this material world. Let's begin with the second understanding of the existence of God. Can you name the inventor of? Wow. Graham Bell. Can you name the inventor of? Oh, you are good in science. James Watt. Can you name the inventor of? I'm impressed. Any name? The inventor. Thomas Edison. Okay. Now, over here you see, we are not taking everything, but just, you know, the telephone, telephone, the steam engine, and, you know, the light bulb, the telescope, all of you very confidently, what did you all say? The name of the person who invented. Who invented? Well, should I buy that? That it's just some time who invented. Now, we are talking about the complex solar system. We are not talking about, you know, just a simple a picture or a model or something. When a silly telephone or a light bulb has a living person inventing it, what about these huge universes, these galaxies, these planets, and the systems which are working? You know Isaac Newton, all of you know? So when the solar system was discovered by the scientist during his time, Newton's time. So many of these scientists, they didn't believe that someone created all these planets and, you know, their orbits and all of this stuff. But it was Newton who had this doubt, and he kind of researched that there has to be some person who created, if small little things which we come across has a creator, has an inventor, a person who manufactures that, even if it is a silly pen, you can't just say that it just manifested from the Big Bang. So what Newton did, when they had just discovered the solar system, he made a gyroscope of the entire solar system, you know, like this. And it was like, it was a step-down model of the original solar system. You know, sometimes in those science exhibitions you have models. So like that, Newton, he made a model of the solar system which all these scientists had discovered, that what is the positioning of, you know, the planets, the Earth, the other planets, and how do they rotate and revolve in their orbits like that. So he made a beautiful, magnificent model of the original solar system in his laboratory, and he invited all his fellow scientists who didn't believe in the creator. So when they came, just, you know, press of a button or a spindle, and this entire discovery of the solar system, which was just in theory, now they could see, you know, a three-dimensional model of that. And you won't believe, every single scientist was so impressed. The first question they all asked unanimously, who made it? What was the question? Who made it? And Newton said, I don't know. Today morning I just happened to come in my lab and it was just there. You know, maybe some light coming from the streets, you know, some energy or some time or something like that made this model manifest over here in my lab. None of the scientists believed. They said, what is all this? You believe that we'll buy that? Come on, did you make it? So he said, no, this is a real story. He said that, just look at you. This is just a model of the original solar system, and you are not willing to accept that nobody made it. So how on earth are you willing to accept that the original solar system, with all of its stupendous complexities and its grandeur and beauty and precisions, nobody made it? Does that sound logical? So herein, we are using logic. I am not asking you, I am not compelling you. Use your own brain. When you see something which is being created, then the question is always, who is the creator of that. Now, again, so we have come to this second logic. First was every urge has a fulfillment in nature. The second logic is every thing which is created in this material world has to have a creator. Are you ready for a small demonstration? Okay. Now, you all can see? What is this? Okay, yeah. Now you are all being very specific. It's a picture of rose. How many features are there in this? How many features are there?
Three.
What are the three features?
No.
I'm not talking about the features of the rose flower, but I'm talking about, okay, I'll explain. So herein you see two features. You see the shape and you see the color. Okay, so this is a two-dimensional image of a rose flower. So do you believe that someone clicked this photo or someone painted this? Do you believe? Hope it didn't come from the Big Bang. You believe someone made this. Okay. So now, I have, this is a plastic rose. So how many features you see now? Plastic rose. This is a three-dimensional. How many features? Three features are there. You see the shape, you see the color, and also you can feel the texture. Okay, so herein is the third, the three features of the same, but it's a plastic rose. Now again I ask you, my dear friends, do you believe that someone manufactured this? Was it manufactured by a living person, not just by some light or energy or whatever? A person with intelligence and, you know, using some endeavor, physical endeavor. Okay, now this has one more feature compared to this. Okay. You know what I am coming to now. This is the real rose. Real rose. How many features are there? What is the fourth one? Fragrance. This one doesn't have fragrance. This one doesn't have fragrance. This one has something which is less than the plastic one. The plastic has a feature less than the original rose. Now you all very wonderfully you said that the picture of the rose, someone made it. The plastic rose, a person made it. The original rose having four features, nobody made it. And you believe that I should buy that theory. What do you say? It has four features, and having those four features, definitely with this logic, I will use my logic to understand the reasoning that there has to be some intelligence to add on to the fragrance, to add on to the, you know, the texture, the color, the shape, you know, the size, and so many other things. So herein, this is the other logic. Creator implies a creator. Now let's look into the basic life necessities. Light. We all need light. And you all very wonderfully said there are so many bulbs over here, and there was the inventor, Thomas Alva Edison. He was the inventor. And what about this bulb? If a 40 watt, 60 watt, 100 watt bulb, there is a creator, there is an inventor, what about this huge one? Okay, let's look into something else. When children are asked, pani kahan se aata beta? Syntex ki tanki se aata hai. Municipality ke nal se aata hai. So this is another. Water is our basic necessity. So you know that there is a Syntex company, and then it's rainy season, hell of a lot of rains happening, and you look at the clouds. So if, you know, a child looks at the Syntex tank and saying that water comes from the Syntex tank and there is a Syntex company, what about this tank? Then, you know, there are these other chemicals like, say, citric acid. And, you know, it's manufactured in maybe some company. And we have naturally so much of it available in a lemon and a lemon tree. You know, tons and tons of citric acid available. Again, if the chemicals which we come across in the market has a manufacturer, what to speak of the original? Fruity. Huh? The real taste of what? The real taste of mango. So Fruity is a company. There are so many employees and they are working and they are manufacturing so many Fruities every day. And what about the real mangoes? You know, the Fruity has its all packaging and the Tetra pack and so many things are there. Even the real mangoes, you will find the fragrance is there, the color is there, the juice is there, and the skin, which is the packing. So, if Fruity has a manufacturer which is simply trying to imitate the original mango, what to speak of the original mango? So, with these little things, now, what have we come to terms? That creation implies a creator. Law is another thing. Whenever you see law around, do you see law around sometimes in India? You see law around? Law implies what? A lawmaker. Can you name some laws which you encounter every day? Yeah, okay. Traffic laws. So, what are the traffic laws that you have to drive in a certain lane? Okay. When the traffic lights, you have to follow. Now, do you believe that there were laws just traveling anywhere, you are following the laws which were made by some lawmakers? Like you're traveling in train. The first law is you have to have what? A ticket. One time there was a sadhu in a train and the TC caught him without ticket. And the sadhu said, sadhu hai, humse ticket mangte hain. Ram Janm Bhoomi ja rahe hain. तीर्थ यात्रा के लिए हमसे टिकट मांगते हैं. सो द टीसी सेड राम जन्मभूमि जा रहे हो, चलो उससे पहले कृष्ण जन्मभूमि घुमा के लाता हूं, फिर जाना राम जन्मभूमि. वो तीर्थ यात्रा करके आओ. भगवान कृष्ण कहां जन्मे थे? जेल. सो व्हेन वी आर टॉकिंग अबाउट लॉज, देयर आर लॉ मेकर्स. Now, let's look into the natural laws, which means the cosmic laws. What are the cosmic laws which you encounter every day? Okay, sunrise. Sun rises from? Are you sure? What if tomorrow? East only. So sure, damn sure, dead sure, whatever. Huh? Sun rises from the east. Now, this is a law, which means if it's a perfect law that since ages, sun has been rising from the east, and if I see laws in this material world, immediately I come to the terms that there was a lawmaker. What about this? What are the other laws? You know, plant a mango seed, what fruit will you get? Mango. There is a law, there is a system which is being followed. So when we are talking about even the cosmic laws, it is but natural for someone with some little logic and reasoning that who is the lawmaker if the man-made laws, we say man-made laws, the traffic laws are man-made, made by a man. What about the cosmic laws, the sun rising every day from the east, you know, the season coming and going at the stipulated time and period. So many different cosmic laws are happening, which means there has to be a lawmaker for that as well. So, now, another thing which we'll try to understand on a cosmic level. Here is a satellite. It's a man-made satellite. You have so many satellites hovering in space, all sent by man, the scientists, up in the space, all these satellites. And we use the satellites for so many reasons. So now you know that one particular satellite, for its functioning, it requires a control room as big as this. To control and monitor the satellite and its movements and its functionality, you require a control room with so many people, with so many technological gadgets and their intelligence and expertise, just controlling one single satellite. And therefore it is said that the satellite monitoring is done round the clock. There is a critical observation with critical parameters round the clock for just one particular satellite which is hovering in the space. Now you have these planets, huge, like let's take the Earth, you know, the mass of this Earth planet, as you can read over here, 6 into 10 raised to 21 metric tons, that is the mass of this Earth. And this is the speed at which, you know, it's going around the Sun. And this Earth planet is just a tiny little speck you see over there. With all of that tonnage, this Earth is a tiny little speck as against the other planets and the orbits in which, you know, they are all going. Have you ever heard that, you know, Mars and Saturn head-on collision ho gaya? Huh? Lanes changing. Sometimes hota na. Traffic rules follow nahi karte hain to accident hota hai. So there was some lane changing between the Mars and the Saturn or the Pluto, Neptune. Head-on collision, khatam ho gaya. Particular orbit, they keep on rotating and revolving. So the question is, if a silly satellite, man-made, has a control room and controllers monitoring, critical monitoring, observation, round the clock, what about all of these original planets? When they are functioning in their orbits and revolving and rotating, the question is, who is in control? Another logic we are using. A beautiful garden obviously has a gardener. You all know? Mona Lisa. Did I paint it? Who did it? Yeah. So, immediately, a beautiful painting, the question which we ask, who painted? Whenever we see a beautiful painting, we ask the question, who did it? Now this is the original photo of a butterfly. It's not a painting. You must have come across so many beautiful looking butterflies. How many times we ask? Who is the artist? When it comes to so many things, we always have the questions and we try to find out the answers. But when we encounter the original of whatever we encounter in this material world, why our logic fails over there? So herein, one philosopher has very wonderfully put forth, fisherman, when unsuccessful, thinks that there are no fishes in the pond. Similarly, when an atheist can't find God, thinks there is none. I read one article, this was on atheism, and it said that atheism is a religion. It's a religion of faithlessness. They have a lot of faith in faithlessness. And for an atheist to exist, God should exist. So that he can deny. Just like for a divorce to exist, marriage should exist. Huh? Have you seen someone just, you're walking on the road and you see a woman, I divorce you. Ajay? When did I marry you? No, I divorce you. So just like for a divorce to exist, marriage should exist. So for an atheist to exist, God should exist. So let's now look into something again into the cosmos, the argument which over here, it's a technical term, the argument from parochialism. Wherein, when someone is asking this question that I haven't seen God in Nasik, or I haven't seen God in America, I haven't seen God in Antarctica, whatever. So the argument from this parochialism is, have you been everywhere to prove that God is not there? How many of you have met Barack Obama? Does he exist? You believe? But you haven't met? No need to meet. Okay. Because you have faith. Okay. You have seen. Image. Oh, well, here is the image of God also. So if your faith is simply on an image, yeah, here is the image. How many of you have met Mahatma Gandhi? Huh? He's alive, so who says that he's dead? Barack Obama is alive and God is dead. Well, I'll take that with a pinch of salt. Now, again, we'll discuss more about that. This particular article said, we seem to be too much impressed by what we have created rather than what has been created within us. So we become, you look at an iPhone. Wow, what technology. You know, iPad or a very advanced looking model of, you know, car or whatever, automated car or a, you know, jet flight plane like that. Now, I'll show you some examples from nature. Might sound a little like Discovery Channel. So, let's begin with this species, the giraffe. Now, just look into, I'll be showing you some of these species and the technology with which these species are inherently having in them. Just look at the technology they have. So, as far as the giraffe, it is said it has the longest neck as against other species. And it has the heaviest heart. That's the dimension. It's 11 kg in its weight and 2 feet long. So why this giraffe, this species, has got such a, you know, like sometimes people say you have a big heart. So definitely, literally, you can say giraffe has a biggest heart. So why he has such a huge heart? Because the neck is so long, and heart, what it does, it pumps blood. So for the blood to be pumped to its brain, you know, like you have motor, jitni unchi building hogi utna HP niche motor lagana padega na. Agar 10 maale ki building hai to utna HP ka motor lagana padega, high power. To abhi iska jo brain hai, giraffe ka brain itna upar, itne manjle pe upar hai. To yahan par jo pump laga hai, kaun sa heart, wo bhi bahut bada HP ka pump hai. So that is the reason, not anything by chance, there is a reason why, you know, such a big capacity heart is there of a giraffe. So what these scientists, they found, all of this is found by the scientists now, discovered by them. So the scientists, they found that it is such a high pressured pump, this heart of a giraffe is such a high pressured pump that it keeps pumping so many liters of blood so that the brain of this giraffe can be functioning in its right capacity. But then what happens when the giraffe takes its neck down to drink some water from some body of water, say from pond or some lake, so it has to bend down. So then the whole brain and everything, the neck and everything goes down to drink that water. So the scientists found out what happens that if the same pressure of blood the heart keeps pumping when the neck was upright, if it continues with the same pressure, the brain will burst when it bends down to drink water. So then they found out what happens. Now here we are talking about something automatically happening within the system. There is a one-way check valve in his jugular veins. So what happens when he bends down to drink water? There is a one-way check valve and there is a kind of a shutter which closes the supply of the blood for that while when he is drinking, when he has bent down. And as soon as the giraffe comes back to its upright position, the shutter opens and the blood supply continues. So the blood is regulated as if somebody is there monitoring, you know, pressing the button, abhi niche ja raha hai, shutter band karo. So do you see technology here? There is technology happening over here. And therefore it is said that the blood in that meantime is collected, taken to a spongy tissue close to the jugular veins, which is released again when the giraffe takes its normal position. So this is the technology as far as this species giraffe is concerned. Now we have another one. So don't think shirsasan kar rahe, Ramdev Baba ka shibir attend karke aaya, aur ye photo ulta hai. Nahi, photo seedha hi hai. This is the species that, that's how they keep hanging themselves. So, can sleep like this? Can sleep upside down? Anyone? Shirsasan mein? Neend aa sakti? So, the pelvic girdle of this particular species, the bat, you know, the pelvic girdle over here, can rotate 180 degree. Knees can bend in opposite direction. Maybe even Ramdev Baba will fail in front of him. And the feature, the best feature of these particular species, they are deaf. No, sorry, they are blind. They are not deaf, they are blind. And how do they locate? Sometimes you might have seen them flying so at, you know, fast pace. How can they locate? So they emit, you know, it's called echolocation. They emit high pitched sound from their mouth. And that high pitched sound, you know, when it hits an object coming in front and it rebounds back, and when the bat hears it, comes to know there is some object in front, changes its direction. Now, how quick the bats have to be. Emitting that sound, the sound hitting the object, rebounding back, going into their ears, they recognizing an object is coming in the front, change your course. So that is the technology of a bat. And the scientists, they had this question that the high pitched sound are so high pitched that it might, you know, burst the eardrum of a bat. So what happens is, whenever they emit that high pitched sound, before it gets rebounded, there is another a shutter kind of on the eardrums, and the ear muscles close when the sound is emitted, so that the eardrums do not burst. And when it comes rebounded back, the eardrums, the shutter opens, and each can recognize its own sound. So if all these bats are put in a big room like this with, you know, all wires going crisscross, none of the bats will bump into each other and none of the bats will get entangled into those crisscross wires they have found. And each bat has its own unique sound emitted, and they recognize the rebounded sound which they have emitted, they recognize, and that's how they fly. That's something astounding. And not only this, they found out that they can even catch a fish which is swimming in a body of water with that particular high pitched sound, getting rebounded, you know, penetrating the surface of the water, hitting the fish, getting rebounded, come to know that there is a fish in that location in the body of water, catching it. That is the technology which this bat has. Now, something even more advanced than this bat's technology is this tiger moth. Now, tiger moths are one of the favorite delicacies for these bats. But these bats find it very difficult to catch this tiger moth because this tiger moth has a greater technology, higher version of software. So what this tiger moth does, whenever the bats emit a sound, the tiger moth comes to know that my predator is somewhere close by. So the tiger moth emits a sound. And when the tiger moth emits a sound, therefore they are called radar jamming moths. You know, they jam the radar of this bat. So the bats are thrown off course. It emits a sound that can throw the bats off course. And they get confused. Ye meri awaaz thi, kiski awaaz thi? So the tiger moth has this capacity to jam the system of such high-tech species like bats even. And the department in the US Air Force is working round the clock to duplicate its technology. Whose technology? Ye, kida. Pura US ka Air Force department laga hua hai to duplicate this particular technology for their stealth bomber aircrafts. So, tiger moth ko bhi nahi malum hoga, pura US ka Air Force department laga hua hai. Kya hai iske andar iska technology? How can we, you know, duplicate this particular technology? So again, we see that so much of technological precision is there in these species. Another wonderful species. This is the ruby-throated hummingbird. And, you know, the amazing thing about this bird is, it flies every year 1,000 miles over the Gulf of Mexico to South America. How much? 1,000 miles, mind, non-stop. No refueling in between. No stopovers, non-stop, 1,000 miles every year. And it flaps its wings 75 times per second. Can you imagine the energy level? The energy level which this bird has in it. Total of 6 million wing beats for its entire journey. Again, the scientists with their most advanced computer and metabolic studies are puzzled. How can this little bird has so much energy conserved in it? Now the best part is coming now. Why they are puzzled? Weighs only 3 grams. An aircraft which can fly non-stop 1,000 miles with 6 million wing beats, 75 wing beats per second, weighing only 3 grams. Don't you think somebody made this, or just again Big Bang, you know, it just manifested, kahin se tapka, aasman se tapka, khajur mein atka, something like that. Another species, the camel. So as far as this camel is concerned, can live without water for more than 8 days. Can drink 130 liters in one gulp. Transparent eyelids to protect eyes from a sandstorm. So, it's called the desert ship. Have you heard? Camels are called the desert ships. So, it has, you know, two coatings. The transparent eyelids, hum log lagate na goggle or swimming karte samay lagate, like that. It has. Kyun lagate? Kyunki pani affect nahi karna chahiye, you can see better and all that. So, it has naturally goggles under fitted, transparent eyelids. So whenever there is a sandstorm, the human being can't move because of the sandstorm. But this camel goes on because the eyes are not affected for this reason. Long legs to protect its body from desert heat. Itna aise hi usko lamba nahi banaya itna bina karan ke. Because it has to move in the desert, it's the means of transportation in desert, and desert heat is so much. So therefore the long legs protect the body of the camel from getting affected by the desert heat. So again, there is a system, a brain, a technology which has gone behind. We have the last one, spider's web. Now, you might be enamored by Spider-Man, you know. Spider-Man, you know, everyone, wow, look at that Spider-Man, he's amazing and all that. But it's all just, you know, computer graphics, that's it. Now the original spider's web, it is said that it is 5 times stronger than steel and a bulletproof material called Kevlar. You know, if you take the dimension of the thread from a spider's web and the dimension of steel, the spider's web is 5 times more stronger than that. So we have steel companies and we have these, you know, companies manufacturing Kevlar. What about the spider, his manufacturing company, which is 5 times stronger? So then the question next, which might again question, what then is the definition of God? You see, when we talk about definition of God, many times, especially in India, I have seen that you ask someone about anything for that matter, and if the person is not well versed with that particular subject, will immediately. But when it comes to God, kisko bhi raaste chalte poocho, Bhagwan, main bata do Bhagwan ke baare mein, baitho. Give a 3-hour seminar. Okay, like if I ask you, can you speak for 10 minutes? What is an idiopathic case? Idiopathic case. Can you speak for 5 minutes? What is a 5x5 diagonal matrix? Okay. 2 minutes. Can you speak on medulla oblongata? No. You know what the idiopathic case is? It's a, any doctors over here? Idiopathic case is when the diagnosis cannot be given. It's called nothing to do with idiots. It's called idiopathic case. So, you know, when you talk about all these complex topics, idiopathic case, 5x5 diagonal matrix, medulla oblongata, God, God means God is everything. God is something. God is nothing. God is light. Which light? Tube light, neon light, you know, bulb, spotlight, halogen light, blue light, green light. So, we have to have a perfect definition of God to begin with. So, I might go on, you know, God is there, God is there. You might also have your own understanding of God. Jo bhi, Jai Lalita, Bhagwan, Amitabh Bachchan, Bhagwan, tumhare anusar. So, herein, I have an interesting a cartoon to begin with. So herein, this was a situation that a father in the morning would every day sit in a lotus position and meditate on Mother Durga, and he would chant. While meditating, he would chant what? Ma Durga, like that, you know, Hey Ma, as it is written. So the child, he saw his father, you know, what my father is doing. So next day, the child also sat. And the child also was chanting, Hey Ma. But what the child was thinking? Vasanti. So... So herein, you know, I might go on rambling about God, God, and you might have, you know, this like the father is also chanting Hema, son is also chanting Hema, but both of them, you know, a difference is so much. So therefore, let's understand the definition of God from the scriptural point of view. So the first definition of God is that God has to be the source of everything. He has to be the source of everything. Just like we have a source. I have a father. My father had a father. That father had his father. Bolte na? Mere pita ji unke, mere dada ji, pad dada, pad pad dada, pad 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 pad. Sab dadaon ko piche karo. Kaun hai sabke dada? So who is the source of everything? So that is the first definition of God. The second is, along with being the source, He should also be the supreme controller. Now please mind, my dear friends, the word supreme has to be prefixed. Not just the source, because even we can become source of something. But we are not the supreme source of everything or everyone. So supreme. Now, a father might be the source of the son, but he is also, born from someone else. So a father might say, okay, this is my, son. But many times the son goes beyond the control. So along with the source, he has to be the controller also of that person whom he claims to be the source. Like I saw one poster, the husband is standing in front of the house and he's saying, I am the controller of this house. I am the controller of this house and I have my wife's permission to say so. So many times we find that our controllership is on conditions many times. So, definition of God is, along with being the source of everything, He has to be the supreme controller. And then supreme proprietor. We may have proprietorship over, say, a house or whatever. Sometimes in Bombay local trains, they become proprietors of that seat which they get. Ghuso andar pehle jisko seat mil gaya, mera seat hai. Himmat kaise kiya yahan pe baithne? Maine kya rakha? Rumal rakha. Rumal rakha to kya seat khareed liya? Rumal tha. Rumal dekha nahi kya? Mera rumal hai. My seat. Jaise uska station aata hai, fir seat kahan gaya? Someone else becomes the proprietor. Hai na? Like even if you have bought, you have your seat number, your bogie number in a train. Jaise wo destination pahunchta hai, Bombay se Delhi ja rahe ho. वो ट्रेन पहुंचा आपका वहां पर, क्या वो सीट को काट के लेके जाओगे? अभी मैंने पैसा भरा है, मेरा मेरे नाम पे S164 मेरा है. देन समवन एल्स बिकम्स द प्रोप्राइटर. सो इवन इफ यू हैव प्रोप्राइटरशिप ओवर समथिंग, इट्स नॉट इन अ सुप्रीम डिग्री. सो वन हु इज द सुप्रीम प्रोप्राइटर, लाइक देयर इज द स्टोरी ऑफ अकबर एंड बीरबल. सो वंस अकबर ही ऑस्ट्रसाइज्ड a person from his kingdom. Kingdom se bahar nikal diya. And that person, he approached Birbal that, injustice has been done to me, please kindly save me. So Birbal goes to Akbar. And Birbal tells to Akbar, Badshah Akbar, aaj jo aapne kiya, Bhagwan bhi nahi kar sakte. Aap Bhagwan se bhi bade. Kya? How can? Allah se bhi bada. Kaise? So, you have thrown out this person from your kingdom. Thrown him out of your kingdom. Which even God cannot do. How come? Because in order to throw someone out of your kingdom, there has to be something out of your kingdom. Which doesn't belong to you. But as far as God is concerned, kaan phekenge? Sab kuch to unka hi hai. Usko utha ke ye planet se us planet mein phekenge. Wo bhi to unhi ka hai. To unhi ke rajya mein gaya na wo. So, Birbal wanted to say that don't think that it was a sarcastic thing, that you are superior to Allah or God for that reason, because God is a supreme proprietor. And a person who is a supreme proprietor has to be the supreme enjoyer. So they are all connected, interconnected, these qualities, the definition. Like in a hotel, you will find that the waiters and the cooks and all, they are working hard. The cooks are, cooking inside the kitchen. The waiters are going around serving and cleaning up things. But you find someone sitting in the corner. Sara profit uske paas ja raha hai. Aur wo waiter cooks ko din mein do bar khane ke liye wahan mil raha hai aur मंथली सैलरी मिल रहा है, बट द रियल प्रॉफिट हु एंजॉयज, वन हु इज द प्रोप्राइटर ऑफ दैट होटल. सो इफ यू गो बैक नाउ, अ सुप्रीम, अ पर्सन हु कैन बी सुप्रीम एंजॉयर ओनली इफ ही इज सुप्रीम प्रोप्राइटर. अ पर्सन कैन बी सुप्रीम प्रोप्राइटर इफ ही कैन ऑल्सो कंट्रोल वॉट ही इज द सोर्स ऑफ. सो ऑल दीज फोर क्वालिटीज व्हेन अ पर्सन हैज साइमल्टेनियसली इन फुल इन सुप्रीम डिग्री, दैट इज द डेफिनेशन ऑफ गॉड. सो हियर इन द नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन नाउ, कैन यू शो मी गॉड, ओके, विथ सम लॉजिक, विथ सम रीजनिंग, विथ दिस काइंड ऑफ डेफिनेशन. नाउ आई विल बिलीव ओनली व्हेन आई सी इट. Seeing is believing, as they say. So we'll discuss more on this seeing is believing on the fourth day, and that is we'll take questions at the end. Seeing is believing on the fourth day. Who am I? The science of soul. Herein, let's begin with the theory of cause and effect. Have you heard theory of cause and effect? Herein, like the fans, what is the effect you see? The fan is throwing air on all of us. So this is the effect. What is the cause? That's it. Now this is also a fan. Yeah, what is it? Screen pe. What do you find? What is the effect? What is the cause? Yes, electricity. There is an energy which is flowing. You cannot see right now. सब कंसील वायरिंग कहां पर से कौन सा वायर, बट बाय द इफेक्ट यू कैन डिड्यूस दैट द इलेक्ट्रिसिटी इज फ्लोइंग थ्रू द वायर्स राइट थ्रू द यूनिट ऑफ दिस फैन ओवर हियर, इज इट नॉट? सो बाय लुकिंग एट द इफेक्ट यू कैन पुट योर फेथ इन द कॉज, है कि नहीं? जैसे ही सब कुछ यहां अंधेरा हो गया, तुरंत क्या लाइट गई, है ना? क्या बोलते हैं हम, मतलब वायर से अंदर अभी लाइट सर्कुलेट नहीं हो रही. सो इमीडिएटली यू अंडरस्टैंड दैट देयर इज अ प्रॉब्लम इन द कॉज. सो दिस इज द कॉज एंड इफेक्ट थियरी. अनदर एग्जांपल इज गिवन, एन एरो बीइंग शॉट, व्हेन यू सी द एरो इन इट्स मोशन, दैट इज द इफेक्ट एंड द कॉज इज समवन हैज रिलीज्ड इट, समवन हैज शॉट द एरो. यू हैव अ पपेट शो. So this is a puppet show going on, and you see that how the puppets are moving, you know, their limbs, their hands, their legs, and a beautiful puppet show going on, and we enjoy that. But then we know that this effect which you see in a puppet show is because of the puppeteers. Only dikh rahe, and sometimes the strings are also so fine that you can't even see the strings with which the puppets are attached. But yes, you know that the effect of the movements of the puppets is all because of the puppeteers who are moving these puppets. So therefore, the way to see God is to serve God. Now this is the photo of one former US President Jimmy Carter. Now this Jimmy Carter, when he won as a president of America, he was going into how people, they help him, campaigning for him, canvassing for him. And he saw that there was one person who was, you know, like an outsider kind of, a commoner. And he was, you know, shouting slogans, vote for Jimmy Carter, vote for Jimmy Carter, like that. And Jimmy Carter was so impressed by his enthusiasm when he saw, he said, you know, to his secretary, I want to have dinner with this man. So now, what was the possibility of this commoner to get an audience, have dinner with the President of America? But when the President of America saw his enthusiasm to help him become the President, he decided, no. So they found out, everyone was employed to find out where this person lives and, you know, invited him to have dinner with the president. Similarly, it is said, one of our acharyas, he mentions, don't try to see God, but serve God in such a way that God wants to see you, which is the easiest. So the principle of the cause and effect theory is that we serve God with our full heart and full soul, with our consciousness, that God wants to see us. The example of the US president. The theory of cause and effect also, it says the unseen is proven by the seen. And Krishna gives this example in the Bhagavad Gita. Just like you have a pearl necklace, and you have a pearl necklace around someone's neck, who is holding all the pearls? It's the thread which is not seen, but the thread is the thing which is holding all the pearls, the beautiful pearls. Similarly, Krishna says, you see all the magnificent creations which are all strung like pearls, these planets, these satellites, you know, these galaxies, the Milky Ways and everything. But God is the string which is passing through all these beautiful creations and is holding it. So that's the example given for the unseen. Now, the question is, okay, then is scripture word of God? That was the second question in the beginning, the first slide which we had taken. Is scripture the word of God? Now, when we talk about scriptures, we are talking about a certain way of acquiring knowledge. Okay? Let's begin with what are the three ways of acquiring knowledge. The first is pratyaksha praman. In Sanskrit it's mentioned. Pratyaksha praman means you get knowledge by seeing something. Aksha means eyes. Pratyaksha means something which you see with your eyes directly. Like for example, you look at this mouse. What knowledge you get? What color is it? White. What color is this? Orange. So through your eyes you get knowledge. Okay? But is that perfect knowledge? Is that knowledge giving you the perfect understanding of whatever you are seeing with your eyes? Because many times you see, like in the movies, your eyes might see that, you know, Spider-Man is flying. Or even some hero is flying. Your eyes is seeing. But it's something which is just a graphical thing presented to your eyes. It's an illusion. Harry Potter. It's all illusion created on the screen using some graphical things. So you cannot say that what your eyes are seeing is the absolute truth which your eyes are seeing. So it has limitations. This pratyaksha praman, acquiring knowledge through your eyes, has got its. Why this thing is used? Because when people say, show me God. So even if God comes, do you have the eyes to see God? We might think, to B.R. Chopra ke serial se koi lagta hai. Even if, do we have the eyes to see God? Because our eyes have its own limitations. Then, the second way of acquiring knowledge is anuman. Your eyes are not seeing, your senses are not interacting with the object, but guesswork. Anuman means guesswork. Like, you know, now, I keep on moving this mouse at the end of this table. Yeah, what is your guess? What will happen? Fall down. Why? What in case it flies? Why you say so confidently that it will fall down? Why? No. That's okay. But why you are so confident that as I am pushing it at the end of the table, it will fall down only? Because you have seen something, experienced something before. And therefore it's called inference. द वे ऑफ इन्फरिंग थिंग्स. तो पहले आपने कुछ ऐसे गिरता हुआ देखा तो आपने अभी अनुमान लगा लिया कि ये अभी भी गिरेगा. नाउ अनुमान प्रमाण. सो प्रत्यक्ष प्रमाण इज व्हेन यू सी समथिंग. अनुमान इज इवन इफ यू आर नॉट सीइंग बट यू गेस. इफ आई आस्क यू इज दैट परफेक्ट नॉलेज, इज दैट द वे, अ वेरी परफेक्ट वे टू एक्वायर परफेक्ट नॉलेज. ओके, वील हैव अनदर इंटरेस्टिंग एक्सरसाइज. I need help from someone. Can you come? So we have our friend over here, and I want all of you to tell me what is the favorite food of our friend over here. What could be his favorite food? Okay, vada pav. Don't tell anything. So vada pav, vada pav. Huh? Pav bhaji. Pizza. Samosa. Okay. Okay, okay. ठीक है बहुत हो गया. पूरा मेन्यू कार्ड निकाल रहे हैं आप. सो ओके, वड़ा पाव, पाव भाजी, पिज्जा, चाइनीज, सो मेनी थिंग्स. ओके, सो ऑल ऑफ यू, यू हैव गिवन योर अनुमान अबाउट हिज फेवरेट फूड. व्हाट अकॉर्डिंग टू यू कुड बी हिज फेवरेट कलर? ब्लू, व्हाइट, ब्लू, व्हाइट, ब्लू, रेड. ओके, ओके. What according to you would be his favorite actor? Kya? 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 What? Amir Khan. Amjad Khan ne? Keshav Mukherjee? Nahi? Okay. So whatever names you have given. Okay, now I don't want those who know him very well, but all of you who might have seen him first time not knowing him, what according to you could be his name? Naam kya ho sakta hai inka? Hasmukh. Hasmukh. Okay, Hasmukh. Any other guesses what name he might have? Shailesh, Rahul. Okay. So okay. So okay, let's ask him now. Huh? Let's ask him. What's your name?
Ritesh.
Sorry. Ritesh. Koi marks nahi mila. Who is your favorite actor?
वैसे तो सब acting ही करते हैं. इसलिए कोई पसंद नहीं इतना.
कोई पसंद नहीं. सब फेल हो गए. What is your favorite food?
घर की सब्जी और रोटी. हॉस्टल में मिलती नहीं.
घर की सब्जी और रोटी. नो पाव भाजी, नो वड़ा पाव, नो पिज्जा, नो चाइनीज. घर की बनी दाल सब्जी रोटी. एंड व्हाट इज योर फेवरेट कलर?
ब्लू.
एक तुक्का लग गया. सो ओवर हियर हो गया, हमारे सारे क्वेश्चंस हो गए. ओवर हियर व्हाट डू यू फाइंड नाउ? That if you really want to know about Ritesh, what is his name, what is his favorite color, what is whoever, you know, or his favorite, you know, cuisine and everything. सबसे आसान क्या था? इनको पूछो ना, इनको पूछो. अनुमान लगाना कि अभी जैसे भगवान, भगवान मेरे अनुसार ये स्पीकर में भी हो सकते हैं. भगवान है ना, वो लाइट बहुत बहुत ब्राइट लाइट उधर ही चल रहा है. गॉड मीन्स लाइट और गॉड मीन्स लव. यू नो आई लव माई गर्लफ्रेंड, सो माई गर्लफ्रेंड इज गॉड. ये सब अनुमान लगाना, द बेस्ट इज आस्क गॉड. जस्ट लाइक वी आर आस्किंग रितेश व्हाट आर हिज फेवरेट्स, व्हाट इज हिज नेम. काइंडली नाउ गिव अ बिग हैंड टू रितेश फॉर कमिंग इन द फ्रंट. थैंक यू वेरी मच. So therefore, the third way of acquiring knowledge is Shabda. Shabda Praman means asking God, what is the definition of God? So we have now some images in front of you in regards to Anuman Praman. So what do you see over here, honestly? Kya dikh raha hai? What do you see? कुछ नहीं दिख रहा है, दिख रहा है? कुछ तो हो रहा है ना, क्या हो रहा है? Something is being built. So it's called optical illusion now. So if you use your pratyaksha praman, this is kind of putting you in disillusionment. Huh? Let's go further. Count the black dots or the white dots, whatever. Okay, this is interesting. Can we have someone? Can you do this? Look at the chart and say the color, not the word. Your time starts. Huh? Kya ho raha? Okay. I know you are having a nice time. Let's get back to the topic. So, over here, what you find is that our eyes and our brain, many times, they have different functionalities. So, just this is again optical illusion. Another one. Suppose you have only four, इतने क्यों चिंता कर रहे हो आप? Elephant का चार ही पैर होते हैं ना? But it is made in such a way that it puts us again in an illusion. So therefore, the third way of acquiring knowledge is शब्द प्रमाण. So as we had this exercise that Mr. Ritesh, we asked him directly, what is his name? What is his favorite color? What is his favorite food and everything? And Shabda means the scripture, the word of God. So we have Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bible, the Quran, the Granth Sahib, and all of these scriptures are none other than the words of God. And God is speaking, this is what I like, this is what I am made of, this is my definition, and this is what I want all of you to do. So that is Shabda Praman, the three ways of acquiring knowledge. So herein we have these scientists, So, some of these scientists, what are their views about God? So, we ought to value the privilege of knowing God's truth far beyond anything we can have in this world. That's Michael Faraday. Then, Max Born said, I saw in it, which means the atom, the key to the deepest secret of nature, and it revealed to me the greatness of the creation and the Creator. For me, an equation has no meaning unless it represents God, the famous mathematician Ramanujam. Carl Jung, another scientist, I do not know who is God, but one thing I am rest assured that if one doesn't realize him, one will go crazy. Now, these are all not people who have attended this course. Max Planck, he said, for religion, God is in the beginning, whereas for science, God is in the end. Now, our scriptures, which means, let's begin with the Vedas. So, the Vedic source, how it is infallible. Infallible means the things which are mentioned in the Vedas, how it is beyond our arguments and logic. So, there are these proofs. The first is, plants have life, which was mentioned, you know, since time immemorial in our Vedas, that how plants have life. And later on, Jagdish Chandra Bose discovered that yes, plants also do have life. But it was already mentioned. Then human embryology, which is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, very systematically, of course, the medical science now explains it through its medical books. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, that scripture had very, very much in the history you have the scriptures which mention systematically about the human embryology and these terms like how this earth is called Bhugol. Earlier the scientists, they had come to the terms that earth is flat, and they told Christopher Columbus that if you go a certain point you will fall off in space because earth is flat. But then later on they revised it, amended it, saying that no, earth is spherical, which was already mentioned in our scriptures, and therefore it's called Bhugol Shastra. The seven continents, the Sapt Dweep, which is already mentioned in our scriptures. Then we have some astonishing predictions from our scriptures, like how here in Srimad Bhagavatam, this is 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which already had mentioned and predicted about Chandragupta Maurya and King Ashoka. Then we have Srimad Bhagavatam, again 12th canto mentions about Chanakya Pandit, how he is going to come, mention about Lord Buddha, and of course Srimad Bhagavatam mentions about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these Puranas, how they predicted something, and you see that such people existed and they accomplished their mission for which they came. So the next question is, then why different scriptures? If, you know, okay, scripture is the word of God, then why so much of confusion created because of so many scriptures? Why not just one scriptures? So different scriptures are meant for different audience and are revealed according to time, place and circumstance. The example is given just like you have so many different levels of dictionary. You have the pocket dictionary. So if you want to know the meaning of one particular word in a pocket dictionary, the pocket dictionary just in one line. But if you open the Webster's, 17 volume Webster's dictionary, that same word, the meaning will be given in paragraphs. Depending on the level of the reader. So when Jesus Christ was preaching, he was preaching to people who were on such a low level of their consciousness that he had to begin his preaching by saying, "Thou shall not kill, thou shall not commit adultery, thou shall not do that," all those commandments. And then you have Bhagavad Gita, wherein Krishna starts speaking to Arjun, not like that. Krishna begins, "How you are not this body, you are the soul," because Arjun was on a high level already. Like for example, you may have a student, a primary school student who is studying mathematics, and you have a PhD student also studying mathematics. They both are studying mathematics, but the level is according to the level of the candidate. The textbooks are according to the level of the candidate. Similarly, God is one, but he presents himself through these various different scriptures depending on the time, place and circumstance of the people of this material world, for them to get connected to him according to their level. So scriptures are compared. Srila Prabhupada used to give these examples. You buy, say, a machine, say washing machine you buy, and you get an instruction manual. So similarly, you have this body which is also a high-tech machine. The systems in this body are really high-tech, just like in a machine. So what is the instruction manual? The scriptures. The scriptures, they give directions how to use this machine, how not to use this machine. Instruction manual mein dono hota hai na? Warnings. Kahan par ungli mat dal. Aur kaun si button dabao. So similarly, what to do with this body and what you should not do with this body. Both things are mentioned. Just like you have a directory, and the directory tells you, you know, the address of a person whom you want to know about. Similarly, scriptures, it's like yellow pages. It gives the email address, the phone number, the permanent address of God. That is the job of a scripture. And the third comparison is, scripture are compared to the mother. Like when I was preaching in Bombay, one particular college, so one student, you know, I was quoting the Bhagavad Gita. So the student asked, "Why should I believe in Bhagavad Gita?" Why? You are quoting Bhagavad Gita, but why should I believe in Bhagavad Gita? So I was trying to make him understand from different logical point of view, but he was not able to accept. So finally I asked, well, how can you say that the person whom you call your father is your father? What is the proof? You are doubting Bhagavad Gita. So if you are following the logic of doubting, have you ever doubted that that person whom you call dad, papa, whatever, is your father only? A strong point which I was making forth in front of him. So he said, you know, just to win the argument, he said, I have done the DNA testing. So I asked, when did you do the DNA testing? He said, 4 years ago. What is your age? I am 20 years. Which means for 16 years, it was your blind faith. Hai na? 4 saal pehle DNA testing kiya na? Of course, he never did anything. He was just trying to win that argument. So then I researched into and I found out that even if somebody wants to test his father through this genetic fingerprinting or the DNA testing. Huh? Like if somebody says, I don't believe that this person is my father, I want to make sure through DNA testing, genetic fingerprinting. So then I found out that if one takes only 10% of the entire male population, because you have to test all the males, their genes, if it matches yours. So even if someone takes 10% of the entire male population of the entire of this earth planet, then it comes to 250 million males, just 10%. And if one takes 100 seconds per male to test their genes, whether it's matching the DNA, it's matching yours, it'll take 800 years of constant testing to test only 10% of the entire male population. Beta jinda rahega, baap jinda rahega, kaun rahega? So, does that, it's ridiculous. So when scriptures are compared to mothers, just like mother tells, beta, he is your father. So scriptures are compared to mother. So the mother is telling who is the father. And when the scriptures explain, yes, Krishna, Bhagavad Gita is the mother, and the mother is telling, or Srimad Bhagavatam is the mother, and the mother is telling, here is the father. That is the simplest way to understand who is our supreme father. And therefore, the conclusion of today's talk is, the important scriptures for Kali Yuga, from tomorrow onwards, we'll be basing our sessions on these two scriptures, Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So tomorrow's topic is another interesting one. Day 3 we'll be discussing, well, if God exists and this is the definition of God, then why there are so many personalities, especially in India? A myriad of so many devatas, 33 crores of them. So is there one God or many God? And that we will discuss day 3 of our journey of self-discovery, which is tomorrow. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Okay, any questions anyone has now? Yeah, you had. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got your question. If you remember, were you there yesterday? Yeah. If you remember yesterday, I had told that all these sessions are connected with each other. So your question essentially will be answered on the fifth day. Why do bad things happen to good people? And bad things means tsunamis, earthquakes and natural calamities as well. So, I would be elaborately answering that question on day 5, and I don't want to do that, so that I make sure that you come. Okay? It's okay? Yeah. Serving God. Okay. The example of the US President, Jimmy Carter. Yeah. You see, when we try to see God with our mundane senses, you know, using our faculties. So it's like a common citizen trying to reach the president, which is almost impossible. But here in the example of Jimmy Carter was that common citizen of that country served the president with so much of enthusiasm that president, he was so much impressed that wanted to see. So it's a very it's a subtle point that if we really want to experience, not just see God, but experience and realize God in our life, when we start serving Him, when we start acknowledging His presence through our senses, then the mercy of God will fill our life. And through that, we can not just see Him, we can realize Him, we can feel His presence at every step of our life. Just like right now, what you are doing, you are trying to understand God. That is the beginning. Hearing about or hearing from the scriptures. So this is the beginning. And then what you hear, you apply. So we are just like we chant the holy names of the Supreme Lord. So all these scriptures, whether it is Quran or Bible, you will find that one of the ways by which you can serve God, either it's Allah or Jehovah or Krishna, chanting, you know, glorifying the Lord. Kirti Gan, that's called Kirtan. So chanting His holy names, then hearing about His glories, then molding your life according to the scriptural injunctions. So that is how you begin serving God. Again, there are many ways, and these ways are mentioned in the scriptures, that how to serve God. Just a minute. So on the last day, practical application, again your question will be answered. Practical application means, how practically can I serve God now? Say as a student, or as a housewife, as a businessman, whatever. So that will be last day. How practically I can apply these scriptures in my life and I can serve God. Yeah. I was
saying that one doing good karmas doesn't serve God. If I don't chant or something like that.
Yeah. So then when you are talking about good karma, how have you defined good karma? What is good karma? Again, good karma is defined by the scriptures. So yes, if you are performing good karma based on the definition of the scriptures, yes, definitely you are serving God like that. Yeah, same thing, you know, good karma is asking. So again, that thing we'll be taking up on the last day itself, that the different definitions of what is good, what is bad, sometimes, you know, serving humanity. You might serve humanity with good intentions, but it might result in something negative as far as the person at the receiving end. So what is absolutely a good karma? Again, the last day we'll discuss on that. Yeah, we'll discuss Navada Bhakti the last day. Yes. No. The religious walls are because people, they misinterpret and they misapply the injunctions. Yeah, it's a good question. Now, you know, why different scriptures? We had shown that slide. Why different scriptures? Because people are at different levels. You know, just like I gave the example of mathematics. So mathematics, for someone who is doing PhD in mathematics, will have this big, the book on mathematics. And someone who is just in primary school will have arithmetic like that, depending on his level. So when you are talking about, you know, the different gods which are mentioned in the different scriptures, it's one and the same. Like, the meaning of Allah is He's Almighty. The meaning of Jehovah is He's all merciful. The meaning of Krishna is all attractive. The meaning of Vishnu is all pervading. So it's like, you know, a father, when he's in the office, he's called boss. Everyone calls boss. Good morning, boss, sir, like that. When he comes home, definitely boss is someone else. So when he comes home, now he's the same person. Say, you know, the police commissioner. The police commissioner in office is addressed as the police commissioner, boss, sir, and all that. He's the same person, but when he comes home, daddy, papa, and the wife might address whatever, you know, like that. The person remains the same, but it's just, you know, the way he's addressed is changed. Similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's the same Krishna in the Quran who is addressed as Allah. Like that. Well, I have serious doubts about all of his predictions. No, some of his predictions. You see, that's just one aspect of God. That's just one aspect of God. Just like if I say that one of the definitions of God is that God is all beautiful. Now, that doesn't mean that Aishwarya Rai becomes God just because she is beautiful. She has maybe one quality, and that quality also which that celebrity might have might be in a very minuscule quantity. So yes, even if Nostradamus, I have just given you some predictions, and Nostradamus also might have given some things like that. So I would say that Nostradamus was also predicted by God that he is going to appear. So he is superior now. Helping hand or praying lips. Yeah, same these kind of questions which they are asking, these gentlemen, that if I just do good, is that all? Do I have to do something else other than that? So the question is that when you are doing, you are helping someone, do you really know what is real help? So that definition is also, yeah, you are right, very much right, that helping hands, the praying lips should also be, I would prefer both should be there. Why only one? The praying lips should also extend their helping hands. So what is real help again? So all of your questions is all connected to our future sessions. Okay. So your this question and both of their questions will be answered. What is real karma? What is real good karma? What is real charity? When, for whom it has to be performed? Last day. Okay? Yeah. Well, in fact, I would say that he has created self-operating systems. Now, he has created man and woman. Unko bana ke chhod diya. Just see. Okay, a man creates. No, just I'm answering your question further to that point. So a man creates a laptop. Okay, so here is a laptop. So if I marry this laptop, Apple laptop to Microsoft laptop, kuch aayega? 9 mahine baad kuch aayega? How he is controlling? How he is controlling that this particular machine which I have, which has been created by God, all the systems in this is all controlled by the people who have been appointed by God. So tomorrow we'll discuss that these devatas, why so many devatas are required. Krishna is the prime minister, and the 33 crore devatas are like the cabinet ministers. They are controlling each limb of this operating system. There is a devata for our eyes, there is a devata for our nose, there is a devata for our tongue, there is a devata for all our senses and systems. And they are all under the direction of Krishna. So he is still in control while you experience that they are all operating on their own, self-operating also. So why did God create this world? Day 5. Why do bad things happen to good people? Hare Krishna. Okay, I guess we'll just take one last question because it's, I don't want to hold everyone. If in case you have some pressing questions, I'll be available over here. You can come and meet me personally. Okay? So just one last question. Yeah, supreme enjoyer. you remember I gave the example of the waiter, the cooks and the hotelier, the proprietor of the hotel. Okay? So, you have the waiters and the cooks. How will they get happiness when they cooperate with the owner of the hotel? When the owner of the hotel says, this is where you have to work, this is how you have to work, this is what you have to cook, this is how you have to cook. So, the enjoyment of the cooks and the waiters in that hotel depends on their cooperation with the owner of the hotel. So your question is, am I addressing to your question? So yes, so he is the supreme proprietor and he is the supreme enjoyer, and we are also enjoyers and proprietors when we are in cooperation with the supreme proprietor and enjoyer. Yes. The scriptures explain everything. I told you, scripture is like the instruction manual. This is the machine. And the instruction manual explains that, yes, as a human being, what is your role? How you have to, you know, what systems you have to use favorably? What are the things unfavorable which you have to avoid? Everything. The do's and the don'ts. Everything is mentioned. We just have to open the scriptures and know about it. Okay? So thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. I am really very, very impressed by your very intelligent questions, and I can say that you are all one of the best audiences I have come across in my preaching for all this while, these 6 sessions. So, feel good about that. Congratulations. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, we will have kirtan, by the we will have just 5-minute kirtan, if in case you want it. So, we will just have 5 minutes kirtan, and we will wind up after that. जय श्री राधा मदन गोपाल भगवान की हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे